Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour brought to you by TrophySmack.com. where you can use code DHHRING to get a free $60 ring with the purchase of any trophy. Guess what? There's lots of trophies. They're up for grabs. And you know what your league needs to do? They need to get a better one. Go on TrophySmack.com. Use code DHHRING to do that. And it's very fitting that we're here today to talk about Dynasty Startups. It is Dynasty Startup season. I've already got one in the books. I know a lot of people are going through startups now. The values are swinging left and right. And not only do I have Tyler with me this week, I have Tim, but we have a fellow New Englander. It's our friend from the Dynasty Dummies, Zach Reed. Zach, how are you this evening, this fine, beautiful New England evening?
I am fantastic, Doug, and very excited to be here. The Dummies have grown up with DHH. We kind of came in around the same time, and
we're like cousins.
Exactly, and this is the first time I've been on, and I'm stoked to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you. We're going to talk Dynasty Startups in a little bit, but we are going to talk some news because there has been some, I guess maybe potentially big news here in the Dynasty community with a couple of top five running backs in the news.
By the way, it's nice to be here. Week. Tim, are you good to be here? Tim, it's good to see you too. It's all good to be here together.
Cool, guys. Tyler apparently had something he wanted to say, Doug. So, hey, Tyler.
I don't have the video in front of me because I have the sheet in front of me.
Tyler, it's good to be back on the show. How was your week, sir?
Good. A lot of outside.
Oh, you know, I reached some things on the top shelf at the grocery store for some old ladies. Oh, this week has been amazing.
Oh, God.
I helped so many people cross the road.
So I blew up the bounce house for my kids, and then our neighbors were having a garage sale. They came over bouncing the bounce house with them. It was fun. I spent a lot of time outside. And I thought I was going to lose my voice for the pod, as you guys could probably hear. But I'm probably at like 85%. I was kind of hoping
you would lose your voice. See,
Tyler's bounce house has one of those little inflatable basketball rims in it, and he's in there just going Shaquille O'Neal, like young Shaq, on all these neighborhood kiddos. Wham!
Greenman.
Get some of that.
They call that Zion Williamson these days.
My voice level is at around Todd Gurley's knee level, so.
Ooh, questionable at best.
That is a very good segue because I think we saw some news today tweeted out by our friend of the show, Jake Glazer, humble brag, that the Rams are very concerned about Todd Gurley's knee. So we've already seen Todd Gurley. We're going to talk startups a little bit. So I'm not going to put the cart in front of the horse. Maybe a little bit. I'll put the cart slightly in front of the horse. That Todd Gurley's slipping into the second round in these dynasty startups where he was formerly the 101 and then he kind of dropped to the 102. And now we see him sliding even further. Tyler,
okay, do you talk about a knee and sliding? Just curious. Like,
I would rather talk about a knee and sliding than a knee and buckling.
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm just gonna put that out there. But while you're on the mic, Tyler, what do you think about this Todd Gurley situation? Do you think where there's smoke, there is fire? Or are you just kind of like, it's early, you believe in Todd? What's your stance on this whole Todd Gurley's knee situation?
So for me, I've been in the corner of backing Todd Gurley up, saying, oh, his knee's probably fine, go buy and stuff. But there, when you say when there's smoke, there's fire, well, there's a lot of smoke to this, which makes me think there's some issues going on. I mean, they gave up a lot of draft capital for Darrell Henderson, who I don't think is just the flat out replacement for Todd Gurley. I think he's more of a Tev Coleman role in the Devonta Freeman role that Gurley should play. And I love Todd Gurley. I hope he's like the human being. I hope Todd Gurley's okay. And this is all fantasy. You know, I hope his knee's fine. I hope he plays another 3 years perfectly healthy. But yeah, I mean, I think we all know the writing's on the wall here that he's going to lose touches. If he gets 225, 250 total touches, I think I'm okay with that still. And I think he'll be a high-end RB2, if not a low-end RB1 with those touches. And Henderson takes, I don't know, what would you guys say Henderson's probably going to get for touches, 150?
I was thinking around that 150 mark, I think would be suitable in that offense, especially if they change to that two back set kind of modeling like what the New Orleans Saints do and some other teams, like you said, with the Falcons. I do have a slight beef with Todd Gurley in real life. He was at the Carolina Hurricanes versus the Bruins, and Gurley was pumping up the Hurricanes crowd, and that kind of miffed me because I was like, dude, what's up with that? I was mad. But the Bruins won. And now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals. Zach, I want to know your thoughts on Todd Gurley, but B, are you a hockey fan? And if you are, do you root for the Bruins?
I don't hockey. I'm sorry. The last time I watched hockey, it was when the Maine Black Bears were good, and they were like
Paul Kariya,
42-1-2, and they had Kariya and Dunham and Snow. But I don't really follow professional
Paul
Kariya
is so good. But I'm a hockey fan. I mean, you have to.
You're from Minnesota.
You have to.
Southern Canada, okay?
Southern Canada.
But the Gurley, for me, I don't think we have learned anything new today.
Yeah.
I don't think the Glazer, for the Athletic, his grab bag piece, I don't think that brought new information to light. I think we've known Gurley's knee is not right since the middle to end of last season. You saw the Rams go ahead and spend a second round pick on Darrell Henderson. I think the real thing for me is we're jumping the gun on Darrell Henderson. I think that I'm not sure that he's the guy that would replace Gurley if he went down. To me, I see Henderson as being more of a 1B. He's a pretty good pass catcher. He's a home run hitter. He's a guy who can take it to the house from anywhere. But watching his film, he was not a guy that I really expected to come into the NFL and be a workload type running back. And so for everybody who's sitting there taking Darrell Henderson in the first round now, which I've seen a bunch, I just saw a trade come through in a DM where somebody traded Darius Geis straight for Darrell Henderson.
That's like, crazy.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, we're now just completely dismissing the fact that Malcolm Brown is a good running back, and they didn't go out and get C.J. Anderson until after Malcolm Brown was hurt. We're dismissing the fact that John Kelly is there and he's had another year, and maybe he's nothing. I really liked his film last year coming out, and the draft capital proved me wrong. But I think there are a lot of pieces to this where I love the fact that Gurley is dropping just from a selfish perspective, because if I can get running backs like Todd Gurley and David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell in the first round or in the second round of a startup, that means I can draft receivers in the first round and be really comfortable doing that, which I like to start that way. So I guess I'm not as worked up over Gurley as everybody else is, but I still think that there is something to the knee issue.
Tim, I haven't forgotten to you, but I'm going to go to you first on our next news topic.
Not a problem.
So, no, I do want to explain.
Tyler's going to
There's a metaphor, I think, with this Todd Gurley stuff. Okay. Have you guys, do you guys remember the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell, the basketball one?
Yeah.
So when he's in the cage with the bear Dewey, like, and everybody's kind of like getting nervous for Will Ferrell when he's wrestling the bear. That is what I imagine the news that first came out kind of during the playoffs, and then the news after the Super Bowl, like, oh, his knee isn't that good. Like a little panic. Right now is when Will Ferrell goes, everybody panic. Like that's what's happening. Everybody's running around. People are screaming, throwing things around.
But, that but why? The exact said nothing new was presented. Everybody's known for months now that there's obviously been an issue.
What's well, classic?
So why was all of a sudden Jake Glazer says nothing new? He just says, oh yeah, the Rams are concerned about his knee. Yeah, no way.
I think part of it is because Glazer is such a insider, and B, I mean, it's a little bit of recency bias. Like it's just one other person saying it. So it starts to bubble up, right? It's like a volcano. It starts to bubble up and bubble up, and eventually, hey, it might explode. Hopefully not his knee. So it was interesting. I had a trade today where someone offered me Todd Gurley and I couldn't pull the trigger. It was Todd Gurley and Allen Robinson for Joe Mixon, Cortland Sutton, and I think it was a 2021 second round pick. And I just told him, I'm like, look, like I own Gurley in another league, and I'm good right now. I really like Mixon, so I'm just gonna stick with what I got.
Yeah.
So I ended up just holding. And I told him, I said, I understand that the upside of this trade could be big for me because of what if Gurley's just fine? Like he's Todd Gurley, and then I just made out. But again, like I'm in a win now. I don't want to risk it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stand pat with what I got. So the other big news of, this week was a TMZ video, which we all love when TMZ comes out with a fresh video of an NFL athlete doing not nice things.
Yeah.
It was Ezekiel Elliott was kind of stumbling around a musical festival, I believe.
Electric DD Carnival.
Yeah.
In Vegas. Yeah. So he was stumbling around, appeared to be slightly inebriated. I had to make sure it wasn't an Ewok from Endor at first when I saw the video.
I thought it was a new Star Wars movie shooting at first.
Yeah, exactly. Like the new Game of Thrones guys are making those movies. This should be interesting. Maybe they'll write them better. Because
would it
have
been
more
easier
time
to recognize him if he had the crop top where you could have saw his six pack?
I don't know if he has. I mean, I think there's maybe a 12 pack there, but I don't know about a six pack right now. But he likes to get lean before the season, whatever. Yeah. So on this video, this person following Zeke around because they're probably like, oh, it's Zeke Elliott. Let me get my video rolling. And he's like denied access somewhere or something. He's beefing with a security guard and he kind of gets up in his face, probably going, do you know who I am? And he's like, are you Sideshow Bob? Are you Krusty the Clown? I don't know who the hell you are. And then he kind of gets in the guy's face and he pushes him a little bit with his chest as to try to not make it look like he's pushing him because his hands aren't on him. But you can clearly see from the video that he's moving his body towards him and like trying to play it off like it's an accident. At least that's how I saw it. So there was some reaction to this video. And before we get to Tyler, which this spurned a trade in a league that we're in that we co-own, which I was a little salty about, and we'll go over there in a second.
A little.
I'm coming around a little bit on it, but I'm still not there. But first, I want to go to Tim because we haven't heard his voice in a little bit. A, did you watch the video? B, yes. What did you think of it? And C, are you panic selling Zeke? Are you afraid of some sort of suspension coming up here in the future? Because I think it'll be a 10-gamer at this point because, you know, he was suspended without really ever doing anything that he was guilty of in the court of law, which is fun.
I did see the video. My thoughts on the video. If this was a one-off, if this was the first time Zeke had been in the news, I think this is, air quotes here, innocent enough that he probably doesn't face nothing major from the NFL. But Zeke has had some incidents in the past. And like you said, he was never necessarily convicted of anything.
Right.
But the NFL doesn't necessarily need a judge to say, hey, this guy's guilty. You know, the NFL holds their players accountable for their actions on and off the field. And obviously this is multiple times Ezekiel Elliott has had run-ins with individuals. Now, it is my understanding he did get detained, like they cuffed, but was not arrested.
Right.
No charges were pressed. So I'm going to be interested to see what the NFL does with this. Is there a little bit of panic? Yes, there is a little bit of panic, but we're going to talk startup anyways. In a startup right now, I was picking from the sixth spot, first
right
round,
in front of me.
Super flex league. I had my mind all made up that when it got to six, I was going to take Mr. Mahomes, and Zeke fell to me. And I said, you know what? Even if he does get suspended, I'll take Zeke in a dynasty league as a number one running back to start my team with. So I'm not necessarily overly panicking on Zeke. I personally wouldn't panic sell on Zeke until something solid came out. And even then I wouldn't panic sell. I would try to get value for him.
So Tyler, let's flip the other coin on what happened with the panic sell. So why don't you explain what went down in one of the leagues that we're in and how a panic sell comes to fruition?
So I don't think it was really too much of a panic sell.
It was like 20 minutes after the video. You were like, get him out.
Because I said, let's get this trade out before any other news comes out. So I wanted to get it done before anything else was leaked, or if there was something maybe even worse, because I know he kind of got into it with his lady friend and there was a little him grabbing her and trying to turn her around. And that could be a serious thing. The thing with me is I looked at it and I have Alvin Kamara ahead of Zeke, and we gave up Zeke and Ian Thomas, which was apparently the bigger deal of this trade for you, Doug.
It's a tight end premium league, and I love me Ian Thomas.
Yep.
This one cut me. I mean, Tim and I are Ian Thomas guys, and this one cut me a little personal.
I mean, I like Ian Thomas like everybody else.
And we have needs. We have needs at tight end, which now we're drafting. We'll talk about in a minute. But
which we got Alvin Kamara and Jimmy Graham, but we traded back from the 112 because we did win this league.
Hell yeah!
So the 112
dominated,
and we got the 205 back. Mm-hmm. So that was the trade. Alvin Kamara, Jimmy Graham, 205, and we gave Zeke, Ian Thomas, and 112. Now Zach, how do you think we fared? I mean,
first off, 112 is where the players dwell. So, I mean, giving that up was a
peaches
a
and cream, baby.
That is an old school reference completely.
It is. Yeah, anybody under 25 is so, like, wait, what?
That song. I had a friend in, it was around 7th, 8th grade maybe, and it was when Napster was huge, and I went to a friend, and I'm like, I'll give you $5. I gave him a list of songs that I wanted on a CD. He did it, and that was the first song on that CD.
There you go. No, which, by the way, that 112 did turn into Noah Fant.
Yeah. So, Zach, what are your thoughts from an outsider that doesn't co-own in this league? What are your thoughts on that deal?
So out of curiosity, what's the tight end premium? Is it like 1.25, 1.50, 1.75? Like what are we talking? 1.5. Okay. So I know everybody loves to get in the tight end premium and have that discussion. It really doesn't do that much for me. I still think that tight ends are tight ends. And if you're outside of about the top four, the only guy that tight end premium is really going to bump up, and Tyler, you're going to love this, is Austin Hooper, because he's one of the only volume tight ends who's not a stud in the traditional sense of the word, in the Travis Kelce sense of the word.
72 catches, 700 yards.
That's the guy. And, you know, and it's those 70 catches that is really the thing. So I'm going to take the tight ends completely out of the mix. And I don't mind getting Alvin Kamara for Ezekiel Elliott, because I think they're pretty close in terms of players. And I am so averse to having that off the field risk that's associated with Zeke. And I traded for him last year in a home league and won the league. I mean, the trade won me the league, but this year I'm really hoping that this blows over at least enough for me to do what you just did and trade Zeke and get back a pretty comparable player.
You know what would really suck is if there's like the, remember when Zeke got originally suspended and it was like, is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Oh God, that was terrible. I had Zeke in a bunch of leagues and I was just like pulling what little hair I don't have out, because it was the most annoying lineup setting activity during those periods. I was just like, just suspend him for God's sake, so I don't have to worry about it. And then they wait until later in the season and then you're totally porked come playoff time, and you were like, yeah, this is awesome. They could have just suspended him in week 2.
Didn't he come back for the championship game? Wasn't he back for
that week 16? Yeah.
And now don't get me wrong, Zeke is somebody that I don't mind. I mean, he helped you win the UDPL. Zeke was a big part of that. The whole reason why I traded for Saquon and really beefed up my running backs, because I knew what wins championships, and it's those workhorse running backs. Mm-hmm. we all got to remember Latavius Murray's coming in for Mark Ingram, and I've seen plenty of Latavius up here in Minnesota. He's not bad, but he's not Mark Ingram. I think Mark Ingram is a better player. So I think Kamara is actually going to get more touches, more work. And could he be the guy that gets 1,000 and 1,000, which David Johnson truly wants? He could. He could this year. 1,000 rushing yards, 1,000 receiving yards. There's a good chance that happens. And in a PPR league, that is huge because I don't think Zeke will touch that.
No, not that they brought in Pollard. I think Pollard is going to be an active pass catcher. But anyway, we've got two more news nuggets, and then we are going to get to a live draft pick. So we've got a couple tight end news and notes. Ben Watson today, who signed with the Patriots, came out of retirement to sign with the Pats, maybe to chase a ring. Who knows? There's opportunity there in that offense. But he is suspended for the first four games of the season. He had a long, lengthy note about what happened. I didn't read it, so if you feel like going on Twitter, you can probably find it there. Not a huge fantasy impactful. Maybe that helps Austin Zafarian Jenkins secure a role, at least for the first four games of the season. And then Kyle Rudolph. So the Vikings draft Irv Smith. They drafted him in the second round, correct, Tyler?
Yes, sir. I think the 13th overall pick in the second round.
Yep.
Second, 13th
overall. So they bring in Irv Smith. Now, the Vikings are pretty much up against it for the cap. They had to restructure in order to sign their rookies. So Kyle Rudolph, he's been a hot rumor on the trade block. Supposedly, there was a 5-year extension that was offered to him. And what happened with that, Tyler? He was like, nah, I think I'm good.
I think it was a little more complicated than that.
Probably.
Rudolph up here is a saint. I mean, what he does with the community is awesome. I think he loves it up here.
I was trying to do that math too.
He loves it. He loves it up here from all that I know. And I just think the main thing with it is he saw them draft Irv. I think the money was so spread out and received differently because they're majorly cap strong. Like the Vikings have no cap. I think they have, I want to say 1.5 million or something like that left. So they hardly have anything. I think the money was definitely tied in to where it was more towards the end of his career. And he'd just be like, I'm probably not here by then. So I don't think he was really interested. And you could tell by how he acted. He just wasn't happy with the result. He really wanted
wasn't
to stay,
enthused.
But yeah, he really wanted to stay, but just everything that's happened has kind of just.
So do you think he ends up getting cut?
I think it could be a Gerald McCoy situation where they keep trying and trying to trade, and then last
because and then everyone knows that they're going to cut him.
Yep, yeah. Last possible second he'll get cut. Patriots will sign him.
They don't have a lot of cap room either, unless they extend Tom Brady, then they can create some open room.
I just think he's got Patriot written all over him. Like just a style play. Yeah, I mean, he is like the perfect tight end for that system. He blocks well.
He would work very well. Like I said, We talked about it a couple weeks ago when I was on it. I thought the Raiders would be a really good fit for him too.
Nope.
So just based on what they have for a depth chart.
Yeah, Burrow.
Foster. He's fostering feelings from Tyler. Is it the island of Foster Moreau?
I love Foster
Moreau. Who plays Val Kilmer? Mark Davis?
Oh. I mean, maybe Val Kilmer now, but...
Val Kilmer's need to go to his barber, though. The same barber as John Gruden and Davis.
Tyler, all you have to do is get a bowl from the cupboard, put it on top of your head, and then just
cut everything that sticks out underneath.
So boom, there's a lot of bald people in here. I'm balding, and then we got three other people here that are...
Keep it tight.
So
not as tight.
Do you guys
Zach.
Have He's... the bowl cut? Did you guys have the bowl cut no. when you guys were younger?
I have rocked this haircut since I was 16 years old.
I had the bowl cut.
See, I did. It was the Christian Laettner era. You had to have the Christian Laettner bowl cut.
Oh, yep.
God. I was always the buzz head, and then I started doing a fade later on, and then it just slowly started to disappear on me anyway. So
it started to actually fade.
It was dissipating hair. All right, so let's get to this live pick. We are on the clock in the Dynasty Podologist League, the one that we humble bragged earlier that we won.
Wait, we won that?
We did.
Yeah, league full of Dynasty podcasts. We got the invite last year for the startup.
It's a very interesting gaggle of gentlemen in this league. We did win it last year. We went quarterback heavy in our draft. We've got some good pieces at running back and wide receiver. Tight end, obviously, we talked about we have some needs there. And we did pick So just to follow back, we had the 112. We moved to the 205 in that draft, and we got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside because Tyler's like, you want you and Tim run the draft now? And Tim and I were like, yeah, we're taking
B and I traded away our best player.
Duh. I was all for that pick, by the way. So joke's on you. I know. I
and then we had the 212, and we moved up to the 208 because our best player available was by far and away Irv Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. in a tight end premium league. And we were like, yeah, let's make that move. So we traded a 2023rd to move up four spots. And we got a fourth back in this year's draft as well, which it's looking pretty good for us right now.
Yeah.
That we're going to get a player of quality in that particular spot because Riley Ridley just got picked and I'm tilting. But anyway, so we are on the clock at the 3.12. So we've taken our Arcega-Whiteside. We've taken Irv Smith. We go in tight end again here because there's a player on the board. So some of the other players that are there, there's Dexter Williams. There's Jalen Hurd. There's a couple other players. Like I don't know if they're going to really contribute for us right away. I don't think they will. But there is a certain tight end from the Houston Texans. His real name is Kalahalahala Wanawanawanalugi Waring. And I think he's the pick here, but I want to get confirmation from Tyler and Tim because this is... I want to get confirmation from Tim because Tyler's out of the draft. So, Tim, what are you thinking for this pick? Because I'm ready to hit Waring submit pick, but I want your thoughts first because this is a democracy, not a dictatorship.
Well, looking at our roster, I would say our two biggest positions of need would be quarterback, obviously, in the Superflex League. You always want to keep an eye on quarterback. And then the tight end position again. There's two quarterbacks here that I would be interested in, Stidham and Will Greer, obviously. But like you said, the way this is kind of falling,
we pick again at the 4-7.
Yeah, I think we have a shot at least one, if not both of the quarterbacks I've just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I really like Waring's prospects. So I'm with you, Doug. I think we make the tight end the choice here. And hopefully we at least get one of these other guys to fall to us later on.
I concur. I don't care what you say. I like Warren. All right.
Easton Stick it is.
Yeah, I was about to say, Tyler's agreeing. We're switching the pick.
I would jump off a bridge if you did that.
If I took Easton Stick?
Yeah, Easton Stick, I wouldn't be very happy with it.
Yes. My brother-in-law, Josh, just named his son Easton. So I was like, is that a shout-out to Easton Stick? Like, what's up? And hey, he didn't give me confirmation that it was inspired by him, so I'm not really sure. So I am,
by the way, going back to the draft league, button. We don't need a quarterback, and I know we drafted quarterback very well in that league.
We did. We have Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz. Who else do we have?
Trubisky and Rosen.
Oh there yeah, we got four quarterbacks. Yeah, absolutely. When the 2020 draft comes around, and we want to unload one. Yeah.
Trubisky's upside, I have questions about. Wentz health, we have to question at this point. So it's Matt Ryan.
It's a solid squad.
Ginger Jesus.
So I do want to tell you guys, we're going to start startup talk here in a second, and we have a really great spot where you can do a startup draft. Now, by now, you've probably heard of Reality Sports Online. They're the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager, at least hopefully most of the good ones. But the question is, have you even tried it? There's a lot of different platforms out there. You may have not have tried Reality Sports Online yet, so it's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is all about. They got free agency, obviously. Multi-year contracts, which is a lot of fun. I'm in a contract year league. It adds a new wrinkle to putting a team together. Rookie draft, multi-team trades, which is something that you don't see in a lot of these formats. Franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. You think that sounds complicated? Guess what? It's not. I'm in a league that's very similar to this, and I've won 3 years in a row. If I can do it, you can too. Let's do this. The best thing about it is it's the fantasy front office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. So if you want to get deep, deep, deep into Dynasty and you think you're among the fantasy elite, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the comb over code Dynasty HH to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at Reality Sports Online, and we are getting real with Startup Talk this week. So it is startup season. We brought Zach on from the Dynasty Dummies. Make sure you check out their podcast on all the available podcast formats. So Zach, I'm going to go to you. We're going to let you run the ship here. Talk us through your particular Dynasty startup strategy in this year that is 2019.
Well, in a perfect world, I like to build around wide receivers. Really illustrated by our Todd Gurley talk, to start the show, where running backs cycle through this league so quickly. And I think that we're getting to the point where they're actually going even faster than they have traditionally. A guy like Gurley was, a 101 2 years ago. And now we're talking about him in the second round. Mm-hmm. So I like to start with receivers if I can, but it's also, this is what Tim talked about. It's not in your best interest to pass up if you have an elite tier running back. If something falls to you, you gotta do that. And so I like to have an idea of what I'm going to do, but I don't necessarily have a plan. So when I talk about that, I think the idea is a little bit more flexible than having a plan. And so I like to have that flexibility. I like to see what's going on with other people in my draft. I like to see, I was just in a startup recently, and there were six people who were basically going zero RB, which meant that I had to pivot big time. Wow. I wasn't able to go receiver like I traditionally like to. And so my team looks a lot different than if in a perfect world than it would. But I still think it's going to be a good team. And now I've got I'm going to end up having some trading that I will do to round out my roster. But.
So one of the things that I think people make the mistake of is they go into a draft with a set mindset of, hey, I'm going to attack running backs early, or I'm going to attack wide receivers early. Are you the type that's like, I have a set strategy, but then are you willing? Because some people aren't willing to change.
Fluid, baby. You got to think water. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm the same way, like Bruce Lee says, water, you have to be like the cup, right? Like you have to be moldable and all these other things. That's a great YouTube video, by the way. If you haven't seen it, just type in Bruce Lee water. It's very philosophical and makes you think. But yeah, and I'm the same way. Like I might have a loose idea of what I want. Like if I'm at the 1-9, okay, I want to see if I can get Odell Beckham Jr. Maybe DeAndre Hopkins falls to me because everyone loves running backs right now. And then you get to that 1-9 and you're like, whoa, there's a player that I didn't think was going to be there. And you have to be willing to stick to your board as far as rankings go. And one of the things that I do, which helps me a lot during redraft season, is I make my rankings before we draft. My personal rankings. I don't go off a sheet. I don't go off of anyone's website. I make my own rankings of my top 200 players in redraft. And I think the same can be said for Dynasty. And I know a place where you can do your own rankings. It's called the DynastyHappyHour.com. Cheap pops. Let's go. So you can go on there and you can make your own rankings. And then before your startup starts, you can stick to your board. Because one of the things you want to do is you want to prepare. If you go into a startup draft and you're just kind of willy-nilly and you're just like, oh, well, I don't really know what's going on. And this happens more often than you probably think. If you make rankings and stick to them, I think that's my personal favorite strategy in any league, whether it's redraft or dynasty, is to rank my personal guys, because I don't want anyone to influence me when I look at rankings and be like, oh, well, this guy's getting ranked 20 spots higher. I should take this guy. I want to go by what I believe, what I see, and all the things, the narratives that I want to draw on any players. Because let's be honest, people draw their own narratives on players. Like I was talking with someone in a private chat about they were taking AJ Brown at like 102 in a rookie draft. And I was like, what's your thought process behind that? And he's like, oh, this Titans insider, he's going to get 100 and something targets. And I'm like, okay. I said, what? And he didn't mention anything about them being a run heavy offense or anything that like Marcus Mariota is just not that great. So I'm like, I go, hey, if you're locked into that, that's cool. But one of the things that I've learned is that locking in on a player can be harmful when you're trying to build a roster, because you have to be able to listen to some of the outside factors whether it's statistics, whether it's film, whether it's people that you trust, it's your opinions. Like, you don't want to get that locked in on a player. Like, I love Aaron Jones, right? So everyone knows I'm an Aaron Jones truther. I'm a stand for Aaron Jones. Tyler's nodding rapidly. But I have to realize that even though I like Aaron Jones, I realize, as much as I may not say it all the time, I realize that there is some risk there with injury. There's risk there with workload. I love the upside of Aaron Jones. And I want to tell myself that he's going to be amazing. But I I'm a fool not to see some of the other things that maybe Tyler points out to me, because his opinion matters to me, because, you know, I want to hear those outside opinions. I don't want to be so, you know, have blinders on like a horse.
Are you hitting on me?
Yeah. And by the way, if you haven't seen the new John Wick movie, he kills dudes on a horse. It's amazing. That's all I
guess. Whoa, spoiler alert. I just saw the first one last night, by the
way. It's in the trailer.
Loved it. Loved it.
You love the first one. The second one is good. The third one is bananas.
Yeah. How I compared it is I love Boondock Saints. Love that movie.
That poor cat.
John. Oh my God. That part is so good. John Wick reminds me so much of it. And it could be because the same actor's in it. You know, the detective in Boondock Saints. That actor's.
Oh, Willem Dafoe?
Yeah. And I like him as an actor. I think he's very good.
He's the creepiest looking
Bob Marley, the comedian, huh?
What?
Bob Marley's from Maine.
Detective Greenleaf. Yeah, yeah. He's from up the street here.
Yep.
But yeah, I think those two movies compare very well. And just the style of it. So yeah, I was very shocked. I went in with medium expectations, but I've heard a lot. Good things about
it. It's a great franchise. They announced they're going to make a fourth one in 2021. I'm all in. Let's go.
Nice.
So Tim, anything to add? You know, as Zach and I were talking a little bit about Dynasty Startup, do you have any other commentary you'd like to add? Maybe a movie that you've seen recently? No, I'm just kidding.
I haven't seen any movies recently, gentlemen. I have very little time for that sort of thing. No, Dynasty Strategy, I also tend to switch things up a little bit. Depending on where I'm drafting,
depending on the mood.
If I'm in the front side of a draft, you know, the first four picks or so, I pressure hard to try to move back. I prefer to draft from the middle, you know, the middle ranges. Tyler and I are in a startup right now. I have the one, you know, I started the 106. I love drafting there in the middle. It's easy to move back. It's easy to move up. You're not swinging back and forth too far. It doesn't seem like you have to give up as much in some of those trades. And then if you're on the back end, I don't mind having, you know, the turns there as well. Especially this year, if the running back heavy start of the draft goes, you can really wind up with like Odell, Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, something like that to start your draft, and then just start hammering running backs the next three or four rounds. And before you know it, you're six rounds in and you have just a list of who's who at these skill positions are just absolute studs. And people are sitting there even, you know, looking at your draft kind of drooling. So I don't have any specific strategy to go into any draft. I know that there's going to be things that happen in every draft that I don't expect to see that I'm, you know, they're going to make me scratch my head. I'm going to get picked off at some point. Somebody's going to take a player that I really want a pick in front of me, two picks in front of me. Tyler's done it multiple times already in this draft.
That's what happens when you podcast together.
I mean, he picks, well, in the odd rounds, he picks right behind me on the evens on the comeback. He picks right in front of me. And multiple times I'm like, he's coming back. He's coming to me. And bam, he got me. So
you got me one time, Miles Sanders. I had that.
You've been loading up on rookies. You've been really youth centric in this one. So I knew if I didn't take him there, there wasn't a chance he was getting back to me. So,
well, I want to kind of build off that. My strategy in that league that we're talking about is it's a super flex league. And what I like to do is I like to hit quarterbacks. I was lucky enough to get Mahomes. And then on the way back, I got Andrew Luck. So boom, boom. Don't need to worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's a tight end premium. I was hoping one of the three tight ends fall to me. That's what I want in the tight end premium. I like to go quarterback, and then hopefully one of the big three tight ends fall to me. Kittle, Kelce, Ertz.
Ertz
fell to me, and I was ecstatic. So I'm like, okay, I'm set. And then I got a check, but I I decided, okay, my team looks ready to go. It's ready to win now. So I decided.
I have the draft board up, Tyler, if you want to.
All right. And I'm actually on the clock, too. I did not know that.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, two live picks in one episode?
Well, as soon as Tyler makes his pick, guess who's up after that?
Three live picks in one episode. New record.
So after that, I went carry on because I'm like, okay, I'm going to hit running backs. A lot of running backs have fallen off. I went carry on because I love the upside. And I was like, oh, man, I should have went Jacobs. He fell back to me. So I was lucky enough to get Jacobs again. First Jacobs share I have.
What rounds are we talking here?
Jacobs was in the fifth round.
I was going to say, is it four or five? Late four or five?
So
five.
In the six, AJ Green falls. So I go AJ Green.
Yeah, that's the first one where you just nailed me. I'm like,
yes. That's bonkers. Everyone is like, AJ Green is dead.
Yeah. There was such a huge quarterback run to start. I mean, just a chunk of quarterbacks here in the second, third, and fourth rounds that some of these skill position guys are falling. And when I saw AJ Green on his way back to me, I'm like, oh, God, please, please, please. Tyler, right in front of me.
Well, that was the funny part. When I went Mahomes, a quarterback didn't go until I took Luck. And that's when people are like,
well, then, okay. Yeah. Then everybody started to be like, oh, God, panic time.
Hey, and it's always the best to be at a front side of a positional run.
Exactly. Absolutely. You want to start a run instead of just panicking and being at the end of one.
Ugh, it's the worst.
Yeah. And so I went AJ Green, and then I got my boy Cooper Kupp, who I absolutely love. I got Cooper Kupp as my second, and then Kelvin Ridley as my third receiver.
Time you got me.
And then going back to what Tim said, I felt like I had a legit starting lineup, so I went youth heavy, big upside. I got Daryl Henderson, Tariq Cohen,
number three,
Dwayne Haskins as my third quarterback, Paris Campbell, Mecole Hardman, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Hakeem Butler.
It's like a 2019 rookie draft.
Exactly. Up there.
Yeah, wait, it keeps going.
And then I went Greg Olsen.
You left out Hakeem Butler, didn't you?
No, he said Butler.
I said Butler. And then I got Greg Olsen. And then Alexander Mattison is a guy, you know.
Alexander Mattison.
So that leaves Tyler on the clock here in the 18th round.
Yeah, this is.
So before we get to
you guys keep talking.
On the clock pick, I want to throw it to Zach. So Zach, we talked a little bit about Superflex and tight end premium scoring. Now, this is obviously the newest trend in fantasy football over the last couple of seasons is these two QB Superflex leagues and then tight end premium because, yeah, I always make the joke, like, you can be a tight end one, 30 yards and a touchdown, you can be a tight end one. But so people want to up the ante at the tight end position and make it more valuable, whether it's a 1.5 point or a 2 point per reception type of league. Now, do you have a particular mindset? You know, Tyler kind of laid his out. Is it similar or do you kind of go the opposite of what people are doing in these types of formats?
I stick with the late round. I kind of play the way I play. So I'll play a late round or a later round quarterback because, again, I think if you're outside of the top five or six,
they're all the same.
Then there's not that many difference makers. And if you can get a couple of the middling guys and not spend the high picks, I'm in. And the same thing with tight ends. Like I don't think that you need to pay up for tight ends unless you can build around a guy like a Kelce or an Ertz, you know, that top tier or a Kittle. And I guess probably Kittle's going to be the number one tight end in Dynasty here pretty quick, I think, just because of age.
Yeah, Kelce's getting up there a little bit.
Yeah, he's 30 and mm-hmm. That's you're kind of it's the Thanos snap at 30. You're pretty much dissolving. But yeah, so I play it a little bit of a modified late round quarterback, late round tight end, because I don't wait quite as long as I normally would in single quarterback and non-premium formats. But I still don't want to be the first guy taking one of those positions because even though they're a two-up position instead of a one-up position, they're still not as valuable. There are still enough guys. And I'll tell you, I really struggle with Superflex because I don't ever want to have to think about AJ McCarron. And Superflex makes me think about guys like that.
And if you're in a Superflex league with John Bosch, he probably owns all of those AJ McCarrons.
Oh, it's...
Yeah,
I mean, that's
love you, John.
It's just the, like, I get it. I get making the quarterback position valuable. And I understand that we're mirroring the NFL and trying to drive that artificially. But I also think that spending what some teams do on quarterbacks just because that they have that position attached to them is dumb. And I think we make the same mistake.
The hit rate is very low.
Yeah, I mean, and not even the hit rate, but just spending that early capital on guys just because they're a quarterback, mm-hmm. instead of spending the early capital because they're a good player. I think NFL teams get caught up in that. And if you want to draft the quarterback, great, but don't do it in the first round, because if you do it in the first round, now you spent big capital to get them. You spent more money on the cap. And the same thing with fantasy football. I think if you spend a pick early, you know, if you're taking somebody like a Carson Wentz, and I Tyler, I don't mean to do this to you because I know you're a Wentz guy, but if you're taking a guy like Wentz, you're missing out on some really, really good. Here, I'll give you Mike Evans instead. How about that? Will that make you happy? So, like, you're missing out on a guy like Mike Evans, and you can get the Wentz production in two or three rounds later, where you're not going to be able to get that production from a running back or a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think
it's a security blanket to have two quarterbacks. I think that's what a lot of people like, is that, yeah. like, hey, I've got these two guys and I don't have to worry about it.
Well, and the other part of it is there isn't a wrong way to do it. If you're comfortable drafting quarterbacks early, go do it. And I can't tell you you're wrong, because right. you can win that way. And that's the other part of this to me, is I like to understand not just what they're called, but understand the strategies and the ins and outs. So understand anti-fragile and the zero RB and why you're doing that and the benefit of that. The same thing with the late round quarterback, the same thing with stacking running backs early. Like, there are benefits to all of these strategies. If you don't understand what the benefits are, you're really missing out, because you may be pivoting and not understanding why you're doing it and what you need to do to be successful.
And the worst part about being in a dynasty startup draft is when you hit that point of confusion.
Exactly.
You've made some early picks and you're like, this isn't working the way I thought it would. And then you're kind of not panicking per se, but you're getting nervous and you're like, you know what? This isn't the way I thought it was going to play out. And you get to that point where you're just like, you get it's like analysis paralysis at that point.
Yeah,
it's where you see players on the board and you're like, I don't know what to do. And you just have to kind of swallow and make a pick.
So there's a league Zach and I are both in, and it's Pigs 3.
Oh, and Pigs League's my favorite.
So
well, one of my favorites.
My starting auction and my starting team looks completely different from what it is now. And it's because when I was doing the auction, I was getting these players, and then I just started not liking the team I built. And then I got too deep into my mind. Like, I need
you and Jim Cramer, sell.
Yeah. And I sold everything, and it's a struggle. That's why if you do a startup, you need to have the blueprint in front of you, but you can't start building until you see the supplies that you have. And that is what people start struggling with. And you need to have a backup plan. Like, say you go my strategy where in a super flex, you go quarterback, and say the quarterbacks are going so early, and then the quarterback that comes back to you is a quarterback that you're not so fond of. Well, you need to have another blueprint set. If the other blueprint, say the guy comes
sometimes
up,
you got to redraw the blueprint, right? You got to crumple it up, throw it away, and then redesign the building.
Yep. And I mean, I'm completely with Zach and going to a single quarterback league. If, say, you drafted Mahomes in the third round of a rookie draft and you hit on him, but yet you still have a Phillip Rivers or something, there's a good opportunity for you to sell Patrick Mahomes for a very good positional player, for a very good positional player that can help your team when you have Phillip Rivers. And then my favorite thing in a single quarterback league, drafting a quarterback in the third round and a Daniel Jones in the fourth would be huge, because he is drafted early. Not a lot of people like him. So if he hits,
you're talking single QB rookie draft.
Yes.
Okay.
So if Daniel Jones hits, You have a ton. Yeah, it's a huge rise. And that I love doing that in single quarterback rookie drafts, is going for those quarterback flyers that can really give you value. And then you can just trade them out as you have that veteran, you know, Philip Rivers, Matt Stafford, even. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. But
so speaking of a huge rise, we're going to make this pick because I want to see if it's going to get a huge rise out of Tim because you sniped him again.
No, I took Kalen Ballage, by the way.
Oh, ball age. The old ball age.
I think with the Patriots mentality in Miami, Kenyon Drake being a guy that I think Kenyon Drake is a good player. I just don't think he's a heavy workload type guy. Mm-hmm. Ballage is a great pass catcher, which I think he needs to be used a lot more this year. So I think Ballage, in what round are we, like the 16th, 17th?
18th? Yeah, 18th round. That's a nice pick.
Yeah.
So Tim, you're right behind him. Who are you picking? Yeah.
Well, like I said, I started my draft off with Ezekiel Elliott, and I like to call this team just Team YOLO. This is one of the guys in our DHH crew chat said something about wanting to join a startup. So I was like, yeah, screw it. I'll build a startup. So I built a league. It is start one everywhere. I think there's five flexes plus a super flex spot. Yeah, the tight end premium, type. You know, just kind of allow people to build the teams how they see fit. Yeah. You know, I started with Zeke. The second round was coming back. I was two picks away from starting my draft with Zeke, Todd Gurley, which really would have been like,
ooh, that would have been juicy.
I might have some really good running backs or none at all.
Or you might lose the rest of the hair on top of your head by midseason.
So Todd Gurley goes, Mike Evans there for me in the second. And then like Tyler said, he took Andrew Luck in the second, thus starting the QB run. So as it comes back to me, we start seeing the tight ends and some of the QBs go. So I jump in the third and grab Russell Wilson. Doug, you're going to love my fourth round pick. Aaron Jones, our boy.
Yes. Yeah. Let's roll.
Yeah,
too early.
The heart wants Tyler. So the fifth round, the QBs continue to go. So I grab myself the December rookie player of the month, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Yes. And then the sixth round, I wanted AJ Green. Tyler takes him right in front of me. I'm like, you know what? I already got Zeke. This man's still sitting out there. Hate me if you want, but I take Tyreek Hill. So I got some upside there at the wide receiver position if these boys play. Miles Sanders in the seventh. Chris Herndon is my first tight end.
Tim's team name is Team Bad Boys.
Yeah. Cortland Sutton, Matt Stafford, Damian Harris, Ian Thomas. Finally, I get a rookie here, A.J. Brown, Matt Breda, Mark Andrews, Robert Foster, and Austin Eckler was my last pick. So now I'm up in the 18th. I'd like to go wide receiver, but wide receiver, there's still some guys out there. I'm not in love with any of the guys that are, you know, towards the top of the draft board or the ADP per se.
So Tim, as you're looking through, I want to give you a story about the AJ Brown pick. It was coming around and I was going through my rookie receiver run that I had.
Yeah.
And I showed my friend the draft board at work and he's like, oh, AJ Brown. I'm like, he's not coming back to me. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, you picking like two picks. I'm like, he's not coming back to me. If I know Tim, he's going right before me.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, I figured I was either going to get Debo or AJ there. I needed to start getting some youth because we have the built-in taxi squad to start. So I need somebody to be able to place on the taxi squad and bring up when I need some spot starts. But there is... Just it's the 18th round, and based off of value in this league settings, Doug said it earlier. I mean, people think that AJ Green's dead, but really, I think that Cincinnati offense is just going to be okay. And Andy Dalton's still available. So in the Super Flex
nobody
league,
said Andy Dalton's alive. Nobody said that once.
Tyler, your team redhead. You have to stick with your boy.
I think it's Phoenix, except he's taken a while to rise again.
I mean, we've had the last three quarterbacks to go off the board were Drew Lock, Nick Foles, and Daniel Jones. So all I think value-wise, Andy Dalton's the pick to make here. That gives me four quarterbacks I feel comfortable with. Andy Dalton the least comfortable. But I then have the ability to make a move with another team later on in the year based off of performance of some of these younger quarterbacks that maybe some of these teams are depending on.
I'll give you injury. Unsalted peanuts for Andy Dalton.
So
unsalted what?
Unsalted peanuts.
Oh, I thought you might have even give you salt there.
Tyler, you know that come like week eight, a team loses a quarterback. They have two left on their roster. They don't feel comfortable with one of them.
Yeah, and they're a game out of the playoffs. Cam Newton.
You know,
I mean, so, you could probably get a 2022nd in desperation mode. So
yeah, a 2022nd for Andy Dalton, I'll be fine with later. So Andy Dalton is my draft pick. Andy Dalton's on the block. Everybody in the league, just to let you know, come and get yourself some Andy Dalton.
Live trade bait. Another first here at DH. This is amazing.
It's a bold move.
So, Zach, before we start to wrap up here shortly, any kind of tips or, you know, musings that you want to have about startup drafts from based on your experience?
I have a big question that I want to get off my hands.
I asked Zach, but thanks, Tyler.
I know. I'm asking Zach.
Oh, okay.
Zach,
okay.
Rookies. Where do you like to attack rookies in startups?
Tyler, like, apparently anything after round five.
Like Josh Jacobs, N'Keal Harry, where's your sweet spot for them?
So it's been interesting. I haven't been in a startup draft that has included rookies in a long time because we've kind of shifted toward drafting picks instead of drafting rookies proper in, because we're all draft addicts. We all love to have that adrenaline rush of the draft. So if you draft the rookie picks, you get another draft. And so that's the but I tend to stay away from rookies in a startup, at least drafting rookie picks. I tend not to do that because I tend to go after production. Now, if the rookies are involved in the startup, there are pockets, and this was actually going to lead right into what I was going to send a question back to you guys, but there are pockets of drafts that there are players I just don't want. And so if there are rookies that are involved in or falling to those ranges, or if there are rookies that I like better than the way ADP falls, I don't mind reaching on a rookie. I don't mind going after a Josh Jacobs, you know, in an area where maybe people aren't reaching for him, because I think he is going to come in and be productive. But this is something I've started to kind of play around with in startups, where, and Tim talked about moving back if you're in the beginning of a draft. Well, I like to do that, but what I will do is, say I'm in the top half of the first round, I'll move back to the, you know, the 110, 112, and then I will look at the ADP and kind of the way draft falls. And if there's a run of five or six guys in ADP that I like, I'll try to trade into that area. So I'm getting a second run at players that I like, in certain spots. And so if the rookies happen to fall in those areas, that's what I'll do is kind of position my picks in spots where I see a tier of players that I really like, a bigger tier. And so that's what that's how I'll attack that.
Okay. And now it looks like Jacobs and Harry are going around the late third. So is that a little rich for your blood?
That's I don't have that pulled up. Who are we going around? That seems early, but
like N'Keal Harry is around Cooper Kupp, Sammy Watkins, and DJ Moore and Robert Woods. Like he's pretty much trapped around those guys.
I'd rather have the established players than I would, especially a wide receiver, because I think that as much hype as there is with N'Keal Harry, and
there's a picture of him working with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I know, chemistry's already there.
Doug, you know this. We're Pats fans. Like the hype is real. The draft capital is real. I didn't even say 28-3 though. That didn't cross my mind, Tyler. That wasn't even here.
Boom. We can't talk smack to Tim though. So
no, we'll be quiet.
Well, we can't really talk smack to each other. The two times we've seen each other, we're 1-1. So
it's a split. Yeah. But there's all this hype around N'Keal Harry, and I still don't think you're going to get the production in the first year that people think, that people are expecting. I mean, the Odell Beckham production in a rookie year is probably not happening.
Zach hit it right on the head, because it's so easy to make the argument for the running back, because so often we've seen a rookie running back come in and make the production. So Jacobs that early, I don't love the late third, but you can at least make an argument based off of past performance by other rookies. Very, very few times have we seen a rookie wide receiver come into the league and put up numbers that are going to solidify him as that late third round pick. You're not going to get return on your investment there, at least for the first year.
With all this Josh Jacobs talk, I have an official request for the Dynasty Dummies podcast.
Okay.
It is a Josh Jacobs Jingleheimer Smith. Can we make that happen, Zach? That would make my heart flutter, and I would be forever grateful. There's a lot of words in the song, so it'd be a nice short and sweet one.
I'll see what I can do. Maybe I'll get the kids involved again, like DJ Chark.
That would be great. I would love that.
So, and going back to Jacobs in the ADP, Jacobs, like we talked about, is a guy that we've seen rookie running backs come in, and Jacobs is a guy that could be a 1,000-yard rusher, maybe 400 yards receiving, and be one of those rookie of the year candidates. And he's going to be a guy that could be a first round dynasty startup pick, a guy that could rise in value super quick. And I'm actually quite shocked to see DJ Moore in the later third for rookie receiver, because he played well. He didn't show up till later on in the season. But I mean, just seeing that
Curtis
news,
Samuel season, baby.
Just seeing that news and seeing that ADP is something that surprises me completely. So I completely agree. Running backs are something that if I'm going to reach for an ADP, running backs are probably somebody I'm going to look at, because they're going to be
especially
the
ones with the opportunity share is there. So yeah, absolutely. So any gentlemen, any final words before we start to shutter the show? I'm working in the mall. I've got one of those big metal gates. I'm starting to pull it down. It's like,
one
get out
more
of my
Wetzel's
store.
Pretzel.
Yes.
So I have something I want to share to everybody, and it is a wonderful tool. I know you guys aren't going to be able to see.
Tyler, but you're already a wonderful tool.
So I'm going to show these guys, and it is a wonderful tool on the website we just have up. We have, if you go to dynastyhappyhour.com and you go to tools and the drop-down menu, there's two options, player compare or trade analyzer, which will be coming soon.
Ooh.
You go to player compare and you get to choose two players you want to compare. So I'm going to choose Josh Anderson and let's say Tom Brady.
Josh Allen and Tom Brady?
Yeah, Josh Allen. So you get to run the compare.
I was like, is Josh Anderson a Debbie prospect?
It will give you an overview of who to start. Yes, folks, the sit or start tool is on the website. It is going to be wonderful to help you guys decide your guys' flex spots.
What a beautiful
anything
partnership.
Like that. And it just gives you a ton. It gives you projections, the fantasy insight, stats and performances, and just the basics of it.
It explains how they come to that decision. It's not just, this is what you should do. It breaks it down by basics, performance, projections, and fantasy, and has a blurb beside each one describing exactly what they're seeing, what the statistics say. I stumbled all over that word, but yeah.
And it's going to be a great tool.
I love that. I love the fact that you guys are giving the process behind it, because I think that's the most important part of what we do. And it gets lost sometimes when we're just telling people what we think instead of why we think that. And I think that the process part of that sit or start tool is going to be fantastic. I like it.
Yeah, instead of a massive tool, me apparently telling you some sit or start advice,
you're going to have a useful tool.
A useful tool. There you go. Congratulations, everybody. I am somebody that doesn't need to be here.
Doug, that was very less Minnesota. I mean, could you be less?
It was very New Englander of me.
Yeah. Look at that Minnesotan. He's so upset now.
Well, that when the nice guy meets the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry for being too nice. I mean, I could try to be less nicer.
It would be completely awkward for you to try to be mean. You'd be like, take that, you butt face.
I'm terrible at being mean.
You rotten, like, poop mouth.
I'm not good at just calling somebody names or calling somebody out. Just you know, be
that
like,
is a, that is a beautiful skill not to have because in today's world, we need more Tylers.
We do.
Unless New England Ragers. I'm not like that normally. I just like to give Tyler a hard time.
You guys are great. And Zach, once again, I want to give you a personal heartfelt thank you for everything you've done. It has been a great journey with you. I know you were with us since pretty much the beginning, and it's been fun. It's been fun to get to know you as a person. You've DM'd me personally a bunch of times. I appreciate you. I appreciate Kyle. I appreciate the dummies. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, thank you. And this, it's been a fun, this, the community, the Dynasty community, when we first started doing this, I mean, Tim's an OG, but when we first started doing this, there weren't very many.
No, there weren't nearly as many, were there?
And now there are a lot, but
it's like a new podcast every week.
But it's been so much fun because the community has grown so much, and even though it's gotten a lot bigger, it's still really, really close knit. And you know, we're all talking and we're all in DMs together. And we're all in leagues together and we all jump on each other's podcasts. And it's really fantastic. It's what it's all about. We have a lot of fun. And I appreciate the opportunity to jump on with you guys tonight. This is fantastic.
Yeah, so
no big deal. We're having Mike Clay on next week. So
well, I'm going to step down, but I understand.
So Zach, tell us where we can find you. I think you're on Twitter. You're Tough Actin, Ten Actin Assassin.
Yeah, something like that. No, I'm I am at Tacit Assassin 13. And like you, Tyler said, I'm over with the Dynasty Dummies. We got a website. Really, I'd be remiss if I didn't shout out my better half, Kyle LeBrec, who's at K LeBrec. I mean, he's really the engine that drives the machine. I'm just the idiot who sings the intros. So, but yeah, if you don't listen to us, give us a listen. Maybe don't listen to last week's show. We started off a little differently than we normally do, but
that was great. No,
people should definitely listen to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we have a lot of fun, and so
for those of you that aren't watching it on video, I just completely slayed Tyler with that Tough Actin, Ten Actin joke.
Because all I hear is John Madden. Boom,
boom. Tough he fell backwards on his couch. just totally slayed. It was worth it.
And guys, just my little plug for them for the Dynasty Dummies is when they first came out, somebody shouted them out on Twitter. Hey, new pod, you know, check these guys out. They're great. I downloaded episode one. I've listened to them all. They're great. They do amazing work. Both Kyle and Zach are fantastic. And the interactions I've had with them on Twitter, in leagues, they're stand-up guys. So you're not going to get any of this. They're playing a certain character on their podcast and they act another way in real life.
What you hear on
the podcast is exactly who they are. They're great people and they do awesome, awesome work.
I appreciate that. That's very kind, Tim.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for joining us this week, Zach. And thank you to Tyler kind of, and thank you for Tim for, you know, I was off last week.
There's a lot of nice going around. You just had to burn that
down,
didn't
you? You know, I took a week off last week because I wanted to watch the Thrones finale and really take it in afterwards. I didn't want to have to jump on the pod and then my mind would be racing in different directions. So, you know, I took last week off. So I got to make up for it a little bit this week. I did want to give a shout out to our sponsors. So we've got Trophy Smack. So use code DHHRING. Get that free ring when you buy a trophy. Reality Sports Online. You can go back and get that 1 minute read as much as you may love it. And if you hate it, just skip the damn thing. It's fine. And then make sure to check out DynastyHappyHour.com. All those amazing tools that are on there. Make your own rankings for your startups. Absolutely perfect. Tim, do you have anything you want to say?
Yeah, just real quick. I just wanted to say happy Memorial Day to everybody. Hope everybody enjoys their day off. Hope you get to spend some time with family and friends. But as a former service member myself, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has ever signed on a dotted line, stood on some footprints, went to a boot camp. You know, not everybody gets to go overseas, and it doesn't make you any less of a service member if you don't. But for those that have, thank you so, so very much for everything you've given up, the time away from your families and friends. And I'm glad everybody's back that it's listening to this right now. But for the ones that didn't make it back, you've paid the ultimate sacrifice. We couldn't be more thankful. And one last thing, one of my best friends my entire life, Kelly Appleby, his father went to the hospital today. So Dan, hope Hope you make a speedy recovery. He's in the ICU. So things aren't looking good. But Dan, just know there's plenty of people thinking about you, buddy.
Much respect for Memorial Day. And Dan, get better soon. We are going to be back next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. Tyler told you who is going to be our guest. It is ESPN. ESPN's.
Wow. It's French. It's a French ESPN.
ESPN, Mike Clay is going to come on and talk about his
rankings. Mike Clay.
I will have a fresh baguette for Mike Clay when he comes on the Dynasty Happy Hour. It'll be amazing. All right. So we're going to have Mike Clay on from ESPN next week for the second year in a row. He's going to talk about his Dynasty rankings, his thought process, as it's a little bit different than your typical Dynasty ranker, I think. So we're going to put him to the test, hold his feet to the fire, and talk about Mike Clay. See if we can make him melt on the microphone. Next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour, enjoy your holiday. We'll see you next week.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH underscore Tim, Tyler at DHH underscore Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.